Whenever I tell people that we do entire branding projects in a 1 to 3 day intensive, and that we actually do the entire project before the client has seen any creative work, first they're dumbfounded because that doesn't track with anything they've ever done or have been taught. But the very next thing they ask is, but what happens when the client hates the work? I think that's the biggest fear that everyone has. What happens if I put all my time and energy and effort into this project and then the client hates it? So let's talk about it.
You're listening to the No BS Agency Podcast. We talk strategies that can take your 1 to 2 person branding agency from $5,000 to $30,000 per month without hiring employees or working your ass off. All you have to do is cut the BS. I am Pia Silva.
You've probably had an experience in the past where a client didn't love the work that you gave them. Maybe they flat out hated it, but more likely they just were kind of tepid in their response and had a lot of thoughts and had a lot of revisions and a lot of asks. Regardless, that first unveiling of anything can be incredibly nerve-wracking. You put your love and effort into making something for this client, and for them to not like it is sometimes taken as a knock on you, right? Sometimes we take this very personally. Well, if they don't like it, does that mean that I'm not good at this or that my work isn't good enough? I mean, let's face it, it takes boldness to create something for somebody and then ask them what they think. If you ever took any sort of creative class in school, in college, and you had to put your work on display for the room to critique, it's incredibly stressful, right? Here is something that you made that you feel is good, and then everybody gets to just give their opinion. So before we get into what do you do if the client hates the work, which I will talk about, the first thing I want to talk about is the subjectiveness of creative work. Now, I know that you probably think, well, obviously there's good design and there's bad design. And I don't disagree with you. I feel that way too. When I see things that are I don't think are good, I'm like, well, that's obviously bad. But I have come to learn that that is not the case. There are plenty of people out there who do work that I personally do not think is very good, but there is a client for that person because that person was hired to do work by clients who liked the work that they did. It might not be my taste, but it doesn't mean it is objectively bad. I'd like to talk about the fact that design is subjective and that work is subjective, because I think it's important to remember that when you are presenting creative work, your client might have terrible taste. You could make something amazing, your client has terrible taste, and now they don't like it. Does that mean that you're not good at what you did? Or does that mean the client has terrible taste? There are two people's opinions in any relationship like this, or maybe 3 or 4 or 5, depending on how many clients you have and depending on whether you have partners. But the point is, we have to start from the premise that nothing is inherently, objectively good or bad. Okay, that's very important because when it comes to the way that we do our work and the way that we teach how to do creative work and creative projects and manage this whole process inside the No BS agency model, we have to throw out this idea that something is just good or not good. And we have to throw out the idea that if you make something good, a client will like it, because there's too many other things going on. In fact, I've come to believe that a client doesn't like or dislike the work based on how good it is almost at all. That's almost not a part of it. The client likes or dislikes the work based on their perception of what it was supposed to be and what they were imagining it was going to be and how far off this is or isn't from that idea. Now, that idea might not be very concrete. It's not that a client has a visual idea of what this is going to look like and then you have to match that. Oftentimes, the client's idea of what it should be is very abstract and amorphous in their head. That's when a client says, I'll know it when I see it. The client actually doesn't know what this can look like. And so they are hoping that something that you show them will connect with this non-specific image that they kind of, but don't really have in their head. Okay, so let's start from that premise. There might be another kind of client who has a very specific and clear idea of exactly what it should look like. That's the kind of client that is hiring you as a freelancer to execute their idea. That's a different relationship than we're talking about in this model. In that model, a client is saying, I need a logo of a dog head. I need it to be blue. I want there to be, I'm imagining a logo that Steve made once. His was black though. You know, the ear of the logo is part of the P because the name of the company has a P as the first letter. And I know exactly what I need it to look like. That's the kind of client that probably shouldn't even pay you a premium price for your work because you're not actually conceptualizing or strategizing or doing any of that high level work. You're really just trying to be the hands that can make the thing that they're imagining. You're more of a laborer, right? Like, you know how to use the tools. You're better at drawing. It's like when I have Steve draw me something. Whenever I have a party, I'll make little signs in front of the food. I'm like, Steve, you draw this. And I kind of tell him what I need it to be because I'm like, your handwriting's nicer and it's going to look nicer when you make it. But I'm not asking him to conceptualize anything. I'm saying, here are the markers. Here's the colors. Here's how big I want them to be. And this is what I want them to say. And Steve is just executing in that particular example. That's what a freelancer does. What we're talking about in the No BS model is being hired as the expert, the authority who is leading the creative direction. You're actually bringing strategy into it. You're saying to the client, and this is what we do in that first step, that lead product process step. You're saying to the client, okay, you said you needed a logo on a website. Let's sit down and explain to me why. What are you trying to do? Tell me about your business. Who are you talking to? What's your goal? What's been working? What hasn't worked? What are you doing right now? What are your biggest challenges? You ask them all these things and you get a full picture of their business and their goals and what they're trying to accomplish. And then you create and show them, this is what logo and website and brand message and copy and whatever it is, this is what you need to get you from where you are to where you need to go. Based on the full picture, I'm going to show you what that should look like. Okay, this is important for the question of what if they hate the work, because remember, they're not saying yes or no to the work because they like or don't like it. They're saying yes or no because it is or isn't matching their perception of what it should be. Basically, are you meeting an expectation that they have? Now, the big mistake that a lot of people make in these projects is they don't actually clearly define the expectation. The reason that I find so many people go off the rails on these creative projects, or clients go off the rails, bringing in all sorts of new ideas into the future, which, you know, they may approve something and then go back on it later because they had a new idea. The reason all of that happens is because there is no clarity in the plan and the strategy and the decisions before the project starts. So the reason that the LP is so important, the lead product we do is so important, even when clients ask if they can just do the full project. I would never do an intensive project with someone who didn't do my lead product process first, because I can't do the creative project until they have signed off on the vision and the plan. The vision and the plan is what's setting the clear, specific expectations for the project. So whenever I'm reviewing our clients' lead products inside Mastery, which we insist that everybody who comes in submits their first lead product brief so we can give them very specific and personal feedback on their brief, is because I want to make sure that they're hitting the right notes of creating this vision and this clarity of a plan, because that's what's setting the expectation for the project. So we're not creating some brand and website to completion and then crossing our fingers and just hoping that it matches their taste. Not at all. By the time we unveil this brand, we understand not only their taste, but we've given them clarity of the vision and we've been so specific about it that when they see it, it's obviously the thing. And I know that this works because I've done it so many times and I have never had a client dislike it after I really honed in on the specifics of this process. So first lesson, I guess, is that what happens if the client hates the work? Well, let's make sure that doesn't happen by doing a couple of very important steps. Well, there's many important steps, but one of them being like the whole process is building trust and this relationship where they see you as an expert and authority. That's an entire other topic, but that is very important for this whole thing. The second thing is laying out this clear plan and foundation of expectations for the project before any creative work has been done. Getting the client to see that vision that is aligned with your vision and getting them to say yes and sign off on it. Another important piece of setting that plan and that vision is connecting that to the goal. So I always tell clients, like, I don't really care if you personally love this. Right? This logo, this brand, this is not going to go on your bedroom wall. This is not interior design for your house. This is about making a brand and a message that is going to do the things it needs to do to get the results you're looking for. So it needs to resonate with your clients. It needs to speak to your target audience, and it needs to get them to want to engage with you and buy from you. So if your clients love purple and you hate purple, I might argue that it should be purple. Right? It's never going to be something so drastic as that. I don't actually believe that the whole color theory thing, sure, but I've seen blue work in ways that aren't, you know, cool and calm and collected. And I've seen red work in ways that aren't like urgent and medical or angry and fiery, right? These words that describe colors, it's execution that matters. Anyway, so I don't think a color is or isn't right or wrong. It's about the context, but just as an example. I love to tell clients that it's not about them personally loving it, even though I'll immediately say, it's not that I don't want you to love it. I want you to love it. You're going to love it. But I don't need you to personally love it like you want to wear it on your shirt, right? Because that's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is to hit your goals. And so the reason this is a powerful way to frame the decision-making is because it separates the client's personal opinions from a decision-making process. We are here to decide on this brand, this creative work, based on whether it does or doesn't execute the vision of the plan that we laid out and get us to our goals. Because that's all that matters here. You hired us because you want your business to grow. And we need to make the thing that is going to help your business grow the most. So that helps tremendously when setting up this whole process. And then when it actually comes time to unveil this entire brand, website, the whole shebang. That, remember, we've done the whole thing. We don't show the whole thing, but we've already finished the whole thing. We don't just say, here it is, what do you think? If you go, here it is, what do you think? You're just opening this whole thing up to, what do you think? What's your personal opinion? And honestly, when you do that, you're basically asking the client to find something wrong with it. So instead, what we do is we take the clients through a very specific process. It's called Magic Hour. I should do a whole episode about Magic Hour. It's called Magic Hour. And essentially, this is the very high level view. Essentially, before we show any work, we go through a series of conversations where we get the client on board. We get them reminded clearly of why they came to us, what their goal is. And then we create the decision-making framework for them. We say, hey, this is your goal. This is where you are. This is the plan and vision we laid out that you were on board with. Do we all agree on that, right? We get them to agree. Yes, yes, that's what we said. That's what we want. That's our goal. Uh-huh. Okay. Then we take them through a visual process. During that first preparatory part, we actually also ask them for some work and we get them to explain what they do and don't like about certain websites. This is crucial because when somebody says to you, I want something that's really cool, that doesn't actually mean anything, right? When somebody says, I love minimalist, what's minimalist to me is not what's minimalist to somebody else. These words don't have enough meaning to be valuable until we connect them to visuals. So I have had this happen so many times. People will send us a website and they'll say, I love how minimalist this is, or I love how much white space there is on this, or I love how edgy this is. And I'm looking at it going, wow, I would not describe that as edgy, or wow, you think that's minimalist. I think that's very busy. It's so enlightening to see how people visually represent these words. And as soon as you see somebody do it, it's not always so off base, by the way. Like lots of times they'll send it and I'll be like, yeah, okay, I see what you mean and I agree. But it's really fascinating when somebody uses a word to describe a visual and you disagree with it. Because that is just a great insight into how, if you hadn't gotten that insight from them, that was going to be the problem and why they hated it later down the line. So if you're thinking back right now to old projects that went off the tracks, can you remember a time when you presented work where the client said, that they hated it. And you're like, but it had everything that you asked for. I remember this guy that I dated in college, he got me a present once. It was this pair of earrings and this necklace matching. They were like gold flowers that were pink. They were hideous. They were the ugliest things I've ever. It was so sweet. I mean, I was like touched by the thought, truly, but they were like the ugliest things I've ever seen. And I was like, we were in a relationship. It was totally fine. I like laughed. I was like, what made you think that I would like these incredibly gaudy pieces of jewelry? And he was like, well, you love flowers and you wear a lot of light pink and you love gold. And I was like, yeah, but not altogether in ugly jewelry. This doesn't make any sense. That is a perfect example of, you know, yes, I like all those things, but not together and not in this way. Execution is everything. So if you don't get visual representations of words from clients, then you're going to say, you said minimalist, but edgy and blah, blah, blah. And I made that and you hate it, but I did all the things you said. The mistake is that you didn't really understand what they were saying. You heard some words and then you executed based on what you defined those words to mean. So really important to get on the same page visually. Okay, so going back to our presentation. So we get them on the same page. We remind them of the plan. And then we do this visual conversation where we go, hey, remember how you said this and minimalist here. And we said this and visual here. You know, you said you wanted edgy. Like we pull up the website, edgy like this, edgy like that. So we remind them of all the things that they said. And then we intersperse other things that we found that are in the same vein, edgy, minimalist, whatever, that we like, that are kind of in the direction of what we created for them. And we get them to agree. Yes, I agree. I see that. Yes, I see why we like the same things, right? That's the definition of these words. What we're doing here is we're telling the story of how we got to the work that we are showing. So we're taking them through the why of all the creative decisions that we've made. Now, if you are thoughtful at design at all, then you have a reason for every decision you made. You may or may not be completely aware of it. You probably aren't communicating it, but you definitely have a reason. And this process that I teach people inside Mastery is about understanding what all those decisions are and then communicating them in a really clear and effective way. Because by the time we get to the reveal, the client is so on board with every decision thought, every reason, every why, that the reveal is almost always, wow, yes, exactly. And it's not, oh, exactly, that's what I pictured. It's, I see now how everything we just agreed upon and everything I said and everything you said and all the reasoning behind it looks like this. I see it because it was all laid right in front of me before I saw it. So that's the reason that I have found Magic Hour and this whole reveal process is so effective, and how there's really not much of a threat of a client disliking it at all. And in fact, the majority of the time, the client absolutely loves it. And if you think this is just something that Steve and I can do, I can tell you from experience and having hundreds of people now go through this process, that it's the process that makes it work, not the client or the work even. Learning and being able to execute this process actually makes you a more effective and strategic designer. Because in order to present like this, you have to get really clear on all the pieces. And it actually helps inform the work that you do. I'll read a couple of posts inside our community recently, because this is really what I hear over and over again. This is Alana. Just coming off an amazing Magic Hour, primed my clients, received only yeses, gave them one big decision, and we're done. So much better than showing clients multiple ideas and having to discuss every little detail. This is Natalie. Blown away coming out of my first intensive. Magic Hour is truly magical. Logo, brand look and feel, homepage, key positioning statement, all approved in the Magic Hour. I'm honestly in disbelief. That was the most efficient process possible. Pia, you and Steve are brilliant. Calculated my time versus my past way of doing things, and I saved 8 business days. That's insane. I'm sold. I have so many of these posts, but I don't want to pretend that it's always yes, no edits, no revisions, all the time. Here's a post from Linda, and the post is actually, the subject is Magic Hour for the win. Okay, here's the post. I presented my first Magic Hour for a rebrand, and the client hated, yes, hated the logo for her business. but loved the presentation. Here's where the win comes in. Being specific about articulating our design decisions allowed her to pinpoint where we needed to shift and where she was not being clear in her explanation and vision. With this feedback, I made design revisions and presented again and nailed it. No revisions. So that's really what I wanted to get at. I had a project once where we did the presentation and the whole thing was yellow. It was just like a very yellow website. And we went through the whole thing. And then the first thing out of her mouth after we finished, she goes, "I hate yellow." And we were like, oh God. Oh my goodness, right? That's the worst nightmare. Terrified. However, because of this process, I chatted with her a little, you know, we chatted with her a little bit. Oh gosh, maybe we should have asked this. We actually started asking that question later. Like, are there any colors you just hate? Like, because no matter what, a brand never needs to be a certain color. So if I know that you hate yellow, I'm not going to make a brand that's yellow. So she told us that she loved purple instead. We said, okay, well, that works too, right? So she and I actually went and we started working on the copy and Steve just changed the color to purple. And the whole thing still worked and it looked awesome and she loved it. The switch was so fast and easy, right? It was like a couple of backgrounds and a couple of settings on the website. It was a dramatic change, but it wasn't a hard change and it didn't even take that much time. Because everything else was so well thought out and connected to the goal, this thing that felt like a huge change was actually a very simple change. And I had another student recently share that too. They did their first intensive and a couple of things happened. When they showed it, the client said, "Oh gosh, I guess I forgot to tell you that also I needed to have more of like a Floridian flair." Like he wanted it to feel a little more festive, even though he had never said that. And everything he said and agreed upon in the brief was about how it needed to be professional and corporate, which is exactly what they made. So at first, the student was like, oh my gosh, this didn't work, right? However, that switch was actually pretty simple. They added a few colors. They added like one or two images that had this vibe. And all of a sudden, he nailed it. The client was like, I love it. It's perfect. Why? Because the brand was almost there. This tiny switch was all that needed to happen because we all know, change a color, change a main image, and the whole vibe of the brand changes. And I told them, it sounds like you nailed it, right? They still finished this thing in a couple of days. And the client was thrilled. I said, that's intensives, right? I have never gone through an intensive that was not salvageable. And the best part is the worst thing that can happen, the worst is that you just have to do a little bit more work. That's the worst thing that happens. You're already doing this in so much less time. If you have to work a couple of extra hours, is it still worth it? I say yes. Remember, the goal is not just get it done. The goal is client loves it. It is what the client should have. But the whole process is what ensures that even if by some fluke they hate something about it, the fix is actually very easy. And I consider that a win no matter what. Because when you make those little fixes, the project is still basically done. The heavy lifting has been done because you finished the website. Everything is actually already wrapped up. So when you do an edit, even if it's a brand-wide edit, it's usually small enough that it's still totally worth it. And it's not like it would have been better if you had tried to get them to say yes all along over weeks and months. That is not proven to get them to a yes sooner. This has. So what happens if they hate it? Well, if you do this process right, it doesn't matter. It won't happen. It almost never will happen. But even when they quote hate it, it's usually, oh, one thing is off. And you can easily identify it and tweak it. And that's not true if you've been getting yeses the whole time and dripping out the project. They may say, I like this. I agree with that mood board. I like those color palettes. Okay, let's find this logo back and forth. Okay, we finally agree on a logo. And they could still see the website and be like, it's just not right. I know I said yes to those colors and that logo and that mood board, but this really isn't it. That happens too. This is actually going to get you to the answer faster, and it's going to be more effective for your client. And the huge upside is that when clients see the entire brand and website at one time, or at least they see the entire brand in one visual, they don't have to guess what this is going to look like. I've never understood the idea of trying to get clients to approve a color palette without context. That's like this boyfriend of mine saying, you like pink and you like gold and you like flowers, so here are some some earrings, right? Why don't I like pink, but not on my jewelry? I like flowers, but not in gold on my neck. That's how clients feel when you make them approve things and then they see it all together and it doesn't quite work. It's like a lot of wasted time for no reason. If you'd like to learn how to do this process so you can confidently build a brand that your client is going to love and you can get them on board, not because they should like it or because they magically their tastes are aligned with yours, but because it is actually aligned with their goals and the visuals are aligned with visuals that they have already told you they like. That's how you get them to approve it all along the way. If you'd like to learn a process like that so that you can really be in control of your creative process and control of these projects so that they finish on time, so you can actually plan your life and go on vacation because you know when projects are going to end, go to nobsagencies.com/program. Check out the video on that page. See the way that this model works and how it can completely transform the way that you run your business. Mastery is for 1 to 2 person branding agencies who want to scale up their revenue, their profit to $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 months without employees. It's about working smarter, not harder. It's about getting rid of the BS that drags these projects out and learning a process that's going to make all of your clients your most favorite ideal clients because they're going to love the process. When a client trusts you and when you are in control of the way that you manage the project, that's when everything falls in line. That's when the creative work sings. That's when you get to do your best work and the client says, yes, I love it. When we get rid of the BS of the meetings and the proposals and the client management and the back and forth emails and chasing clients for feedback and chasing clients for assets, we get rid of all of that. We get rid of the design by committee or the client's friend, neighbor, cousin coming in and having an opinion about some color for no reason. We get rid of all that BS. What we're left with is just you, the expert, doing your best work and a client being appreciative and loving it. That's what learning and executing this process can do for your business. Go to nobsagencies.com/program. Book a call with my team and see if now is a good time for you to step in and make that change that is going to change the trajectory of your business. That's all I've got for you today. I will talk to you next week. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll be back next week with more no BS tips for your agency so you can find more profit, ease, and freedom. The No BS Agency podcast is produced by Yellow House Media. Coordinator is Lou Blazer. This episode is edited by Marty Seafelt. Creative direction by Sean and Tara McMullen. Our theme music is Knock 'Em Down by The Shrugs.